من البدا احتلني وعدا بفكر الدم ممكن يروح سدا وقف بمكان اللي من زمان رسم لي خط وهمي بشوفوش امان كان طاير حمام بنادي بعودا فتخبى وعمل لي من غاز وضباب يوم لرد ندا لبينا النداء مهم القناصة بتسود الشباب.
Hello and welcome to Radio Intifada, also known as Suwana Region Radio, a weekly review of politics and culture covering the whole region of South and West Asia and Northern Africa that regularly broadcasts on Pacifica station KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles. My name is Ankine Antaram, here with the fellow collective member and co-host Rana Sharif. Welcome, Rana.
Thank you, Ankine.
Our shows and podcasts can be found regularly on anchor.fm/Suwana or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow our updates on Facebook and Instagram. We thank you in advance for tuning in, lifting up, and sharing our shows widely. Within the first 100 days, the Israeli regime has destroyed every single university in the Gaza Strip, killing 100 university deans and professors, including several university presidents, nearly 4,300 students, and more than 230 teachers, professors, and administrators. This context is particularly important for us today as we pan out momentarily to discuss the targeting of academics and academic institutions, specifically looking at the targeted attacks currently unfolding against internationally renowned Palestinian scholar and longtime friend of Radio Intifada and Suwana Region Radio, Professor Nadira Shalhoub Kevorkian.
On March 12, 2024, Hebrew University suspended Professor Nadira Shalhoub Kevorkian for denouncing the genocide of Palestinians in Gaza. In a statement explaining their position, the Hebrew University claimed her suspension was due to, quote, ensure a safe and conducive environment, end quote, for their students. This suspension is not the first attempt at silencing Professor Shalhoub Kevorkian. In October of last year, 1,000 researchers of child and adolescent trauma signed a call for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. Immediately after the publication of the letter, the leadership at Hebrew University sent Professor Shalhoub Kevorkian a letter demanding her resignation. This letter was subsequently leaked to the media, including Israeli state television. Professor Shalhoub Kevorkian has been a target of a public hate crime as a result. In a statement penned by the Palestine Global Mental Health Network, a network that spans across Australia, Canada, France, Ireland, United Kingdom, and the United States, signatories denounced the Hebrew University's suspension of Professor Nadira Shalhoub Kevorkian. In their statement, they write, quote, this decision by the Hebrew University sends a chilling message to scholars worldwide, particularly those engaged in critical studies and activism that challenge injustices and seek to uncover the truths that lie beneath the surface of politically charged contexts. Academic freedom is a cornerstone of any democratic society, allowing scholars to pursue research, teach, and disseminate knowledge without fear of censorship, retribution, and silencing. The suspension of Professor Shalhoub Kevorkian is a direct affront to this principle, jeopardizing not only her career and personal well-being, but also the integrity and independence of academic inquiry at a global level, end quote. The letter from the Palestine Global Mental Health Network comes with a call to action urging academic institutions worldwide to recognize the gravity of this situation and to reaffirm their commitment to protecting the rights of scholars and academic freedom.
Today, here to discuss with our listeners the gravity of the situation unfolding at the Hebrew University and across universities all over is researcher, scholar, and author Maya Wind. Maya Wind is a Killam postdoctoral fellow in the Department of Anthropology at the University of British Columbia. Her scholarship broadly investigates how settler societies and global systems of militarism and policing are sustained, with a particular focus on the reproduction and export of Israeli security expertise. Her recent book, Towers of Ivory and Steel, chronicles the complicity of Israel's academic system, from its academic disciplines and degree programs to campus infrastructure and research laboratories in Israel's settler colonial project. Thank you, Maya, for joining us today. And I want to thank Professor Shalhoub Kevorkian for connecting us.
Thank you both for having me.
Before we dive into Professor Shalhoub Kevorkian's case and its implications beyond for academic freedom, Maya, can you introduce yourself, your research, and your background to our listeners? What brought you to this work?
Yes, absolutely. So as you began with the show, all of the Palestinian universities in the Gaza Strip have been destroyed
by Israel with either aerial bombardment or controlled detonation. And this horrific destruction of and decimation of Palestinian higher education is really part of a 75-year project by the Israeli state to target Palestinian education as a threat to its rule. What Karman Abulsi and Palestinian scholars and intellectuals have for decades called scholasticide. And the war on Palestinian education is really central to Israel's war on the Palestinian liberation movement. And so we're seeing that play out in a most devastating way now over the last 6 months in Gaza. But of course, this is part of a broader project. And this is also not the first time that Gaza's universities were targeted. When we think about colonial violence and military violence of the kind that we're seeing unfold in Gaza now, but more broadly in Palestine, we tend to think of militaries or weapons corporations as the primary drivers of this violence. But my book is really looking at another type of institution that is not as frequently thought of when we think of apartheid and we think of genocidal campaigns, which are universities. You know, universities are often thought of as civilian institutions. They're frequently associated with liberalism. And so we don't tend to think about them as primary sites reproducing violence. But in the Israeli case, certainly, as it is in many other settler states, universities are very central to the infrastructure of Israeli apartheid and Israeli settler colonial violence. And I myself have been for the last, let's see, at this point, 14 years in higher education systems in North America. And what I have witnessed very clearly is that there is a Western consensus about or under common understanding of Israeli universities, precisely as sort of bastions of liberalism and democracy, as sites where critical research is encouraged. And this despite the fact that for over two decades, Palestinian scholars, activists, intellectuals, civil society organizations have contended that Israeli universities are a central pillar of Israeli racial rule. And so this book that I researched and I recently published precisely I set out to write this book and to research this book to answer the question posed by Palestinian civil society, which is, are Israeli universities complicit in the violation of Palestinian rights? And what I found is that, in fact, they are deeply implicated and they are central to the apparatuses of Israeli racial rule and now to the genocide in Gaza as well. So that is a broader context of Israeli higher education within which Nadia Shalhoub Kevorkian is teaching and is now facing this egregious repression.
Thank you so much, Maya, for sharing the kind of intellectual and political impetus for this work. And it's really important for us to remind our listeners and to really think about how do cultural institutions or culture in general, writ large, and academic institutions being like, as you said, like bastion of like liberal kind of thought, how are they also not just implicitly part of settler colonial logics, but they're actually quite literally built to uphold the logics of erasure and dispossession. And so thank you so much for this work. So perhaps now we can turn our attention to what is currently unfolding at the Hebrew University. Can you give us an overview of what is happening and the decision to terminate and the egregious attacks on Professor Shalhoub Kevorkian?
Absolutely. So let me also start by saying that Professor Shalhoub Kevorkian has been a mentor and a luminary scholar that has really shaped my thinking and the thinking of many, many junior scholars like myself, who have all been so profoundly impacted by her courageous research and her principled and illuminating analysis of Israeli state violence and of Israeli colonial violence. And so she has impacted so many scholars who follow and students who follow in her footsteps. And for her courageous and principled scholarship and pedagogy, an uncompromising analysis of Israeli state violence, Professor Shalhoub Kevorkian has for many decades at Hebrew University been the target of harassment and repression, not only by many of her colleagues, but also by the administration of the university. And multiple ministers of education in Israel have personally intervened and demanded her firing, and this goes back several years already. She has faced a litany of vitriolic, racist, and sexist verbal violence from m many members of the Hebrew University community. And not once has the he administration of the Hebrew University really intervened to insist on her right to conduct the scholarship, her critical work that she does. Professor Hu Kevorkian's work, it's a form of decolonial scholarship on what she calls the state criminality, right, of the Israeli state. And her work really challenges the hegemonic frameworks of Israeli academia. And so for the Israeli government and for many of her colleagues, her critique of Israeli state violence, of colonial violence against Palestinians, which is the subject of her research and her expertise, is wholly illegitimate and grounds for her banishment from the university. And so we have seen this position very clearly from the administration and her and many of her colleagues for many years now. But then in the wake of her interview on a podcast where she expressed where she spoke again about her scholarship, she has conducted extensive research with Palestinian communities about their experiences living under Israeli rule, and the kinds of violence to which they are subjected by the Israeli state and by Israeli settlers. And this is the subject of her research for many years. And for speaking courageously and principally about her scholarship and about her research and speaking out against this current genocide, for this speech, she has now been suspended from the Hebrew University. And it seems very much that they are looking to fire her. She has also been under interrogation by the Israeli state in the wake of this escalated attack on her by her own university.
No, I read the English translation of a letter from the dean of the School of Social Work. In this letter, he writes, quote, "The decision was not made due to political statements of any kind, nor is it due to discipline or regulatory offenses of one sort or another. The decision is moral, academic, and professional. This decision was not preceded by political or other pressure on me or the school administration." End of quote. The decision seems quite political to me. What are your thoughts on this supposed explanation?
Yes, so this decision is absolutely political. And I want to maybe offer a broader context for this, which is the very discretionary and inconsistently applied use of the category of the political in the context of Israeli academia. So, Palestinian scholar of education, Sarab Aboubeh Kweder, who is based at Ben Gurion University, has written about this too, about the experience of producing knowledge under the aegis of Zionist higher education. And what Professor Bourbier Quidel writes about is that the category of the political is quite consistently applied to Palestinian scholars in a way that is not applied to Jewish Israeli scholars. And it is accompanied by an accusation that undermines the validity of their scholarship as scholarship. And what she really shows in her own research is that the category or the accusation of the political is leveled at anti-colonial or decolonial Palestinian epistemology, and that apolitical and therefore acceptable research in the Israeli Academy is broadly research that does not challenge fundamentally the very tenets of Zionism. And so I will just begin by offering that context in terms of the accusation of the political. But also worthy of note is that the faculty at Professor Shalhoub Kevorkian's Institute of Criminology, which is another institute in which she is affiliated, and she is a faculty member, have similarly come out and wrote their own letter, parallel to the one coming from the Dean of Social Work, came out against her and accused her of blurring the lines, the quote, I'm translating, blurring the line between politics and scientific facts. This again in reference to her comments on the podcast. And specifically, the facts that her colleagues at the Institute of Criminology took issue with concerned her argument that Israel is committing ethnic cleansing in Gaza, and that it is using her, and also more broadly about her scholarship, and analysis that Israel is using the occupied Palestinian territory as a site to test and refine technologies and weapons that it later exports abroad. Now, what is interesting about this accusation, or that they take issue with this, is that this research that Professor Shahut Kevorkian has conducted has been broadly corroborated. It not only is this research itself published in leading international peer-reviewed journals, but the data that underlies her analysis is based on ethnographic observations and interviews with Palestinians living under occupation. But also, Israeli weapons corporations themselves openly market their technologies and weapons as field tested on Palestinians. So there are many layers of gaslighting happening right now with this accusation. I also find it curious, to think about this letter from coming from the Institute of Criminology. This is a department that actively trains itself members or personnel of the Shin Bet, and the Israeli National Police. These are people who will participate routinely in the torture of Palestinians through their interrogations. And many of these same colleagues who wrote this letter conduct research using data obtained through torture and interrogations of Palestinians. And then they conduct research funded by the US Department of Defense and by the Israeli security state, right? And so they are accusing Professor Shahut Kevorkian of blurring the line between politics and scientific facts. I think it is particularly ironic coming from these particular faculty members at the Institute of Criminology at Hebrew University.
And I want to say something too that's on a personal level. And I really appreciate what you shared about Doctora Nadira in many ways. And I think I mentioned this to you before we started, is she's a North Star for many of us aspiring academics and scholars and feminists. And so I think what's really glaringly violent here is that the work that she does is actually the barometer for the work that many of us, her students, her mentees do as well. And so I just wanted to thank you for lifting that and to kind of really underscoring her intellectual and political work as so incredibly central to many of the way that many of the forms of knowledge and the intellectual and political questions that we ask for those of us who are also pursuing academic work. So thank you so much for that, Maya. And one of the things as you were talking about the kind of the curious nature in which these like attacks are being lodged or framed, it's the kind of like the exception, right? So there's an exception to the way that she's doing things, and that gets arbitrarily, she gets arbitrarily and very punitively, as we're seeing at the Hebrew University, silenced in ways that other folks are not. And so maybe we can talk about that broader context at the Hebrew University that has enabled this repression against Professor Shahut Kevorkian for some time. It's not unique to this particular moment, but she has been facing this type of repression for a very long time there.
Yes, absolutely. And in multiple of the letters from the Hebrew administration, it seems that they took particular issue with Professor Shahut Kevorkian's self-identification as an anti-Zionist and her critique of Zionism. And in the letters from Hebrew University administration, they repeatedly assert that Hebrew University is a Zionist institution. And I think that that is important to dwell on for a moment because Hebrew University is, in fact, a Zionist institution, and it was founded as such. It was founded as the first and primary university of the Zionist movement back in 1918, and it was founded very explicitly as a state-building institution, as a pillar of Palestinian dispossession. It was founded at the apex of Mount Scopus as a way to stake symbolic and political claim over the entire city of Jerusalem. And then post 1967, so it was really founded as a land grab institution from the outset to further Palestinian dispossession and to establish Jewish settlement as the basis for the Israeli state. And then post 1967, when Israel occupied East Jerusalem, the campus of Mount Scopus indeed expanded very intentionally through the expropriation of Palestinian land, of Isawiyah and other neighboring Palestinian villages. And it expanded its land grabbing enterprise. And Hebrew University was designed and remains a central site through which Israel exercises its sovereignty and illegally occupies East Jerusalem. And this is and this it functions as a military base in multiple ways, not only because the Israeli security state uses it as a base from which to surveil the Palestinian neighborhoods that surround it, not only because Hebrew University runs multiple programs to train police, Shin Bet, Israeli soldiers, and to enhance their operations through academic training that is intertwined with military training. So they are really also training the laborers of occupation. And they also subordinate so many of its institutes subordinate their knowledge production to the needs of Israeli military governance and Israeli apartheid. So the institution is in fact a Zionist institution, and as you can and the limits that are placed on Palestinian scholars and students are very much reflective of those commitments. And so what we're seeing what is happening to Palestinian student organizers at Hebrew University, what is happening to Palestinian faculty who are producing scholarship that challenges Zionist common sense is precisely what we're seeing happen with Professor Shalhoub Kevorkian. The repression that Professor Shalhoub Kevorkian is facing with her suspension is just an escalation, just a recent escalation, but it's part of a broader, long-standing pattern, not only of repression against her specifically because of her courageous and principled scholarship and critique, but it's also part of a broader project to repress critical Palestinian knowledge production at Hebrew University.
And so, Maya, why should we all be concerned with what is happening to Professor Shalhoub Kevorkian? What are the implications of this for academic freedom? And is this similar to repression being experienced here in Northern Ireland?
Critical research and critical thought and debate, this is the bedrock of academic freedom. And this is the foundation, what should be the foundation of higher education and of the university itself. So absent the freedom to critique the Israeli state, to critique this genocide that we are seeing unfold for over 6 months now, there is no meaning for academic freedom. And so to insist on Professor Shalhoub Kevorkian's right to conduct and to speak in the way that she has is absolutely foundational to our struggle for justice and for freedom on our campuses and beyond our campuses. This is true also here in North America, and thank you for bringing that up, because Palestine is absolutely central to all of our liberation movements. And it's absolutely at the core of the demand for academic freedom in the US Academy as well. And we cannot see the ground on Palestine because it is absolutely essential to all of our movements.
Thank you so much for that, Maya. Absolutely. I think that, and we're seeing that here at institutions in North America as well. So then the next, I think, organic question to ask is what can people do? What can folks do? And maybe you could talk a little bit about the Palestinian Campaign for Academic and Cultural Boycott of Israel, PACBI, which was initiated in 2004, and to really encourage our listeners to get activated, to really think about what it means to have access to what it means to protect academic freedom.
Absolutely. So I urge everyone to read the call from the Palestinian Campaign for the Academic and Cultural Boycott of Israel and to read the guideline. This call has been issued for over 2 decades now, and it is past time that we heed it, particularly in North American universities, because our universities here are directly sustaining, legitimizing, and enabling the Israeli universities to continue to serve as a central pillar of Israeli apartheid and settler colonial rule, and now genocide. And so it is incumbent upon us, as those of us inhabiting the North American university system, to heed the Palestinian call for the academic boycott, and to sever all ties with Israeli universities, so long as they continue to serve Israeli apartheid. And so I urge everyone to look at the guidelines. And this is not only about divestment. This includes closing study abroad programs. This includes joint academic research. There's a whole host of exchanges that our universities have with Israeli universities that are continuing to sustain them. And so we are all directly implicated in the repression and the unfreedom of Palestinians, as long as our universities maintain these ties to Israeli institutions. It is absolutely essential that all of us continue to support and to stand with Professor Nadia Ashagub-Kevorkian. And this means writing letters to Hebrew University, following this in writing articles about it, educating ourselves and others and our students and colleagues about Professor Ashagub-Kevorkian's case, and making sure that the pressure on Hebrew University is continuous and escalating until she is reinstated and her rights and academic freedom fully respected.
That is all the time we have for today. Thank you, Maya Wynn, for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Again, you have been listening to Radio Intifada, and our guest has been May Wynn, Killam Postdoctoral Fellow in the Department of Anthropology at the University of British Columbia. Be sure to get a copy of her book, Towers of Ivory and Steel, out from Verso Books.
Thank you so much, Maya, for joining us today. Again, Radio Intifada lifts up and acknowledges the Palestinian people for whom we will continue to educate, agitate, and mobilize for. We ask our listeners to look into the PACB, and we will actually link into our show announcement other ways that you can support Dr. Nadir Ashalhub-Kevorkian. We want to honor the lives of our martyrs and loved ones in the besieged Gaza Strip, our communities in the West Bank, and the families in heartland Palestine and in the diaspora. Again, we will not stop until we are all united in our return to a liberated and free Palestine. Today's show is co-hosted and co-produced by Radio Intifada Collective members, myself, Rana Sharif, and Ankin Antaram. You can listen to our previous shows on Spotify, Anchor, Google, and Radio Public. You can also follow us on for updates on Facebook, X, previously Twitter, and Instagram. We appreciate any amplification of our work, and thank you all for tuning in.
أنا طالق عنان مشونة ومشوك أنا عائد لأرضي أنا خالع الشوك لو مش عارفين شبيدك ما كانوش حشوف سلمة وقفت بصدر ما خفت مهما تعنفت مهما تكلفت ناديت ما وقفت عفت وقرفت ما شفتش الوانه وما كنتش ملتفت ايش استفزهم ايش اللي هزهم كيف ما شافوش بعيون رعب صورة بنفسهم عالقاك اسهم تعود عشوفتنا من بين سحب شافونا طالعين الاف والاف كيف لسه صامدين بعد سنين عجاف فكر ضابعين اصاب البريء لا تحزن شهيد ورد وقطاف فكر هيك بنهل وجود لو حمل حدود ما نعود حنعود لو بنى جدران لو حط جنود واليوم موعود لو بعد عقود